If you would please turn in your red pew Bibles to Proverbs 27. You'll find it on page 653. If you're using the large print, you'll find it on page 1053. Please rise as you're able.
As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He who tends to a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects him, the man. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of a man. A crucible for silver and a furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise that he receives. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding him like a grain of pestle, you will not remove his folly from him.
John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14.
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will eternally become in him a spring of water welling up eternal life." The word of God.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy and perfect Father, we thank you for the blessing of your inspired and inerrant word, Lord. We thank you for our Bibles, the way they inform us and transform us, most importantly, Lord, as God the Holy Spirit works within us. May our spirit submit to God the Holy Spirit, that we would hear and see what you desire to reveal, and may it bless us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are created to know God. Not to know about God, but to know the Lord in a personal way. Now, our Wesleyan faith tradition talks about a concept called prevenient grace, which is the initial witness of the Creator within our spirit. And Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And Jeremiah tells us, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" There is a void within each and every one of us that can only be filled with the Lord Jesus. But because sin has entered the world, and because Satan is the prince of this world, we get things twisted. Some try to fill the void with another person. Some try to fill the void with success or accomplishments. Still, some try to block out that angst and that uneasiness by pushing it down into the dark places of their being. Some immerse themselves in good works. Still others try to anesthetize themselves. They want to escape pain or some hidden secret. Maybe they seek out entertainment after entertainment. And then there are the destructive responses. Losing themselves in some kind of addiction, pornography, drugs, alcohol, gambling, etc. Like we read in Psalm 42 in our call to worship, the thirst cannot be denied. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And here we have on the screen another supportive text, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now you heard Proverbs 27:20. It gives a strong warning. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man or woman. The grave is insatiable. Think of it as a huge dragon that breathes out hellfire, but when it inhales, it sucks in more of its victims. The Apostle John warns us that the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the pride that destroys, all lead to death. In our current culture, there is great evidence of human despair, depression, and discouragement. People feel isolated and they feel alone. Young people are losing their lives to drugs, and others are even taking their own lives. Now, I'd like to invite Sean to come forward. He has volunteered to share some of his personal story with you. Would you please welcome Sean?
I want to thank Pastor Don for allowing me to speak today. If one person gets something from my story, it makes it all worth it. Be your own person. Don't allow yourself something or someone to be someone you're not. Growing up, that was my biggest problem. I always wanted to fit in and impress people. That was my main problem. Not fitting in, always moving different schools, and I just wanted, like I said, to fit in. Those so-called friends offered me pills, and I accepted to feel liked. From there, it was a downward spiral. The pills ran out, so I switched to something cheaper until the money ran out. Being deathly sick every day, I had a love-hate relationship with the drug. I stole, lied, and did whatever possible for my next fix. Losing all my family along the way, being homeless, jobless, sick, and begging daily for 10 years. Finally going to a mental health hospital after I OD'd. I went away to fight my disease. That was 8 years ago. I've never looked back. I got my kids and family back. I got engaged, and I just bought a house. It wouldn't have been possible on my own without my fiance and a strong support system. Today, I am a success story, unlike many of my friends, my brother, and my ex-wife who I bury next week. This disease addiction doesn't discriminate. Age, color, gender, it doesn't matter. If you take anything from my story, just be yourself. You're special. Not everyone is going to like you or be your friend. Write your own success story. Not another statistic. Thank you.
So as we read in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now say a short prayer for me so I don't hurt myself here, but just as a way of a visual, this is what it's talking about, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. And this scripture tells us that that's the way we are to be with each other. Now it's time to say that prayer. Okay. I wanted to make sure I had some protection here. All right. Iron sharpens iron. There is actually a national men's ministry called Iron Sharpens Iron. And why is that? Because we need each other to be at our best. Like Sean sharing his life experience so we can learn from each other and so we can grow. We can encourage each other and we can pray for one another. A lone Christian is much more susceptible to an attack from the enemy. Also, if we see a brother or a sister that is going astray, we can correct them in love. Proverbs 27:18, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. Where are you investing your time and talents? Do not waste your God-given gifts. We sow what we reap. We enjoy the blessings that we help to nourish. In everything we do, we are to honor God, from whom all good gifts come. Know who you belong to and do your part in the kingdom. Proverbs 27:19. A water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Water was probably the first ever mirror, and you have to look into it to see your reflection. Make sure you look deep within yourself. Be honest and make an accurate assessment of the kind of person you are in truth. But remember, your identity doesn't come from the world. Your identity comes from being in Christ Jesus. And the standard of measurement is the Word of God. 27:21. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but a man is tested by the praise he receives. This follows closely to the previous proverb. Be careful to whom you are listening. Most every person is susceptible to flattery or false praise. And one of the most prominent scriptural admonishments is for us to avoid pride and grab hold of humility. We are not to think more of ourselves than is true, and we should consider others before we consider ourselves. Proverbs 27:22. Though you grind a fool in mortar, grinding him like a grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. I got a little demonstration for you. I have some whole wheat bread that I toasted. This talks about grain being grind, right? That you can't grind the foolishness out of a man, right? I did this at home, it worked fine. Kim's not here, is she, to see this mess? So what this scripture is saying is that a fool is a fool to the core, right? You crush him up, and you can't get rid of the foolishness. It's all still there, right? I hope that you can see how that relates to addiction. See, oftentimes you hear people say, I just can't help it. Or they make up all kinds of excuses, millions of excuses. And a lot of people do not recover until they get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Others have to hit rock bottom before they seriously seek help. When there's nowhere else to turn, that's when they turn to God. Let me share a little about my friend Rob's experience. He's the man in the middle of this picture, and he posted this brief testimony on Facebook a little while back. He said, on October 18th of 2005, I shot my last bags of heroin in active addiction. I was a skinny shell of a man. I was lost, scared, and alone. My self-esteem was at an all-time low as my life spiraled out of control. As I laid in that jail cell, broken and feeling forgotten, I knew I had a choice: either continue on this road of destruction or change. I knew for a long time that God wanted more for me, but my fear was my friend and my fear was my comfort. How can that be? He says, my fear was an excuse to keep on using. Over the next 14 months, I confronted that fear and came to realize fear is a liar. My mind was lying to me with all kinds of accusations. To this day, by the grace of God, I have learned to confront fear and get comfortable being uncomfortable. Put God first, and the fear will subside. Life is hard at times, but truly is beautiful all the time. Taking the narrow path is not so scary after all. God is good all the time, all caps, exclamation mark. Today, Rob is a certified drug and alcohol counselor, and counseling is what he does for a living. Psalm 63:5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with the singing lips my mouth will praise you. Now, a few minutes ago, you heard the choir sing. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. There's a melody of love. Psalm 107, we read, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. On the other hand, Satan promises pleasures that only last for a season, and they do you more harm than they do good. What our enemy offers is salt water. You drink, and you drink, and you drink, and you are still thirsty. But worse than that, you're still thirsty, and it drives you to insanity. By comparison, Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The Good Shepherd leads us beside the still waters and restores our soul. He cares for us always. He soothes our fears and makes us whole again. Even when we are dealing with the shadow of death, Jesus is there with us. He comforts us and fills our cup to overflowing. We, who are saved by faith in our Lord Jesus, we will live with him forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for this word. And we thank you for this truth. There are all kinds of salesmen in the world, Lord, trying to sell us what we don't need. Let us realize that no matter how much we buy, no matter where we go, no matter how busy we try to be, or whatever substitute we try to fill this void within us, that is it only our Creator that can complete us. Lord, may this truth resonate in each heart here today. And for any that don't know the Lord Jesus, I pray that they would commit this day, for tomorrow is not promised. Lord, let them speak to someone they trust for guidance and for encouragement. Lord, you are good, you are gracious. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the satisfaction we find in the Lord Jesus. I pray this in his name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.